Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. By God, I'm Travis. Kyle's with me. We're back to talk about some Bears news. And Kyle, we spent one extra week off, and we have accumulated a hell of a lot of Bears news for May, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, the run-up to the draft is always such a grind, and then, like, you don't want to take a whole bunch of time off because you don't want to lose our dear, sweet, beautiful listeners. But let's face it, many of you at this point are diehards. You'll follow us into hell. And so if we take a couple weeks off, you ain't going to leave. You can't leave. You can't do better. You can't do better than us.
You just go out there?
You think you just go out there and find a better Bears podcast? Do you think they're even going to take you? No. So you're stuck with us. But yeah, no, there just really wasn't shit to talk about. But now there is.
That's
shit
right.
We talk about.
We had news, like a slurry of news.
Oh, good word. Yeah. So some stuff has accumulated. So we've had Bears rookie mini camp come up since then. We have had OTAs come up. We've got an extension in the mix. Travis has at least one non-Bears football item that very important for him to discuss. Also, Travis.
For just me. Yeah.
Also, true. I mean, I couldn't possibly be. I'm not even that interested in it. But you want to talk about it, and I humor you sometimes. It's your podcast too.
Thank you.
Yeah. No. But I did see. I was just browsing through TikTok while I was waiting for you to get in the studio, and I saw. I don't even want to know the context of it. It made me just laugh out loud. All I saw was Mike Vrabel says he is aware of Stephon Diggs' boat video. Do you know what that is about? Don't tell me if you do, but like, have you heard, do you know what the Stephon Diggs boat video is?
I have no idea, but.
But doesn't it just make so much sense to you that like we already have Stephon Diggs controversy? And then if I had told you there was one current NFL wide receiver that was going to get in trouble for some kind of boat video, how many guesses would it have taken you to get to Stephon Diggs? I feel like my first guess probably George Pickens, but I guess speaking of George Pickens, do we have any comment on that trade?
Oh, that's a good one to talk about. I don't know if we should lead off with that one, but the George Pickens trade.
It's fine. Kyle, we can do whatever we fucking want.
That's a good point. Let's talk about this because Kyle, when George Pickens was drafted,
we did.
You wanted him, but you also acknowledged that whoever drafted George Pickens is likely only renting him for a maximum term of 7 years before they're disgusted with him.
Oh, I don't think I even
trade his ass. I don't think I even said seven.
I think I specifically said three because after about 3 years is when guys start deciding that they deserve extensions, and that's when a guy like that is most likely to just like you really have to make a decision whether you're going to shit or get off the pot with a guy like that. And the Steelers, as we know, almost never wrong on when they decide to get off the pot with a wide receiver like that. The victims of the Chase Claypool trade could tell you. But yeah, I mean, Antonio Brown, they certainly got out of town there just in time. Mike Wallace, whoever you want to talk about, like they know when to get out. And it's funny. It's hard to blame George Pickens for some of the frustration he has had. I mean, he spent the first 2 years of his career being torpedoed by Kenny Pickett, who threw a touchdown once a month, if that. But yeah, I thought that, do you think that price was acceptable? Too high, too low? How'd you feel about the George Pickens trade value wise? I like it. I do like it for the Cowboys because they badly needed a secondary threat. That offense has not been the same since they let Amari Cooper go.
Really feels like, I mean, just as far as talent goes, the Cowboys are getting a steal, right?
Right.
And you've got to think, did Dallas just come in and you think Pittsburgh was like, you got to give us a second rounder? And they were just like, no, we remember the Chase Claypool trade.
Yeah, right? I have to assume, you know, the name Chase Claypool came up in those negotiations, like without a doubt. Dallas was like, yeah, I've seen this film before. No, sir. So, yeah, no, anyways, but no. So obviously, if we're talking about NFL, what current NFL wide receivers with boat videos? I mean, my first guess would be George Pickens. But it wouldn't take me long to get to Stephon Diggs. He'd probably be number two, number three that I would throw out there. I don't even want to find out what happens in this boat video. It just brings a sense of calm to my world that I just saw the headline, Mike Vrabel is aware of Stefon Diggs' boat video.
Is it so how did you picture Stefon Diggs when you saw the words boat video? You didn't see him as a Bill, right? You immediately saw him in a Vikings helmet. you were like, yep, that's a Viking. That's a Viking right there, boat video.
Yeah, exactly. You can take the boat out of Minnesota, but you can't take the Minnesota out of the boat.
That's right. So yeah, George Pickens is gone. He's a Cowboy now. Are the Steelers, what is a Steeler? Are they somehow going to get into the damn playoffs with this team still?
Well, and it's kind of weird because, like, Aaron Rodgers is still not officially a Steeler, right? But they're acting, for all intents and purposes, like he is.
Yep. And at this point, he has been dunked on by, like, every Steelers legend and current player. So are they really going to bring him in?
And if they don't, like, what the hell do they do?
What are they? Is it Mason Rudolph? Is he still there?
I think he came back. So I guess
Kirk Cousins, right? That's the backup plan.
I suppose, you know, it almost seems like Atlanta really is just like they're going to hedge their bets with Kirk there again this year. I don't know, because I would think if Kirk Cousins was going anywhere, he would have been part of the Browns QB derby. How do you feel about the Browns? How do you feel about the Browns QB derby? Like, this is like the funniest QB competition in pretty recent memory, right? Like they are throwing five guys out there and trying to pretend that all five of them have an equal shot.
I would love to. Give me 2 seconds and I'll be right back.
No, I don't know where he's going, folks. I don't know what he's doing. Travis lives on a farm. There's a lot of livestock. A cow was mooing literally right before we started recording, in order just so we can confirm all of your conceptions about what recording a podcast in Iowa sounds like. So he might be dealing with cow-related stuff. I don't know. Anywho, what do you guys think happens in this Stefon Diggs?
There we go. I'm back.
Video. I'm back. Without looking it up, if you are not yet aware of what happens in the Stefon Diggs boat video, I want you to email the Start Kyler email address with your best theory as to what happened in the Stefon Diggs boat video. Obviously, pizza rolls for the winner. Anyways, yeah.
All right, looked it up. It's exactly what I thought it was.
You looked at the boat video?
No, I didn't look at the video, but I've looked at headlines that suggest what's in the video, and they are equally funny. This is
fantastic.
Very funny.
Fantastic.
I won't tell you folks though. All right.
Yeah, no, don't tell me. I wanna stay ignorant as long as I can of what is actually, because the things I'm imagining it could be are all so great.
Yeah. Okay. Browns. Browns quarterback situation.
Browns quarterback situations. We got, so it's a five-way battle, I guess, right now. We got Small Hands Pickett. We got Old Man Flacco. Mm-hmm. We got Dylan Gabriel. We got Shedeur Sanders, of course. And then I guess theoretically, if he manages to get medically cleared, they've still got to have Deshaun Watson there. So,
that's right.
Can you think of a funnier QB competition in recent memory?
I can't. So as you know, I've been maintaining my QB rankings. I've got that all set in, and the Browns is the five-headed hydra of shit.
Yeah,
and
Travis started working on his quarterback ranking in like February. He's got his list curated and cold. And I'm probably show up that week and wing it. I'm just gonna be like, you know what,
Jamarcus Russell is coming back. All right, this is the year for Jamarcus Russell, guys.
Jaden Daniels clowned me so hard last year that I'm just like, why even care? Why even do research? Why believe in anything? Why?
You got owned by Jaden Daniels so hard, Jamarcus Russell is back in the NFL.
Yeah. So, anyways,
the Browns. Kyle, question is not, is this a good situation? It's abhorrent. The question is, who's coming out of that? The starting who starts the most games for the Browns at quarterback? I couldn't with certainty tell you what three quarterbacks they're going to keep.
My guess is Flacco starts the most, but I think it's like a he starts, but it's like a 2004 Bears scenario where he starts the most games, but that means like six. I could see a situation where we've got like Flacco starts like six games, Pickett starts like four, you get two or three in there from Dylan Gabriel, maybe one or two for Shadur. At some point you sign a guy from the Canadian Football League that's, you know, whoever their Chad Hutchinson is, yeah, the guy who's not even on the radar right now who ends up starting a couple games. So really going to be pretty entertaining, I think, to see how that plays out. Anyway, speaking of quarterbacks on other teams, let's just go ahead and get this out of the way before we do not get into the Bears stuff. You wanted to talk about the Brock Purdy extension, Travis.
Damn right I did.
Talk about it. Speak your piece.
So we've been talking about this off and on, I think, about how highly does San Francisco value Brock Purdy versus how highly does the rest of the league value Brock Purdy. And this deal, I mean, it looks big. You mentioned that it basically puts him at like, what, 14th in the NFL in terms of quarterback salaries? Is that what it's at?
Not in terms of something like on the list of current quarterback contracts, it's something like 14th in the percentage of the cap at time of signing. Because, you know, the way the quarterback contracts go, you know, whoever's got the highest paid this year, blah, blah, isn't going to have it by the next contract sign. You know, they're just going to keep. But in terms of like, if you look at guys who are currently on their second or third contract, not on their rookie contracts, he's 14th among all those guys that have signed an actual deal in terms of percentage of the cap at signing. So I think they did actually strike a reasonable balance between, you know, paying Brock Purdy based on what the numbers say Brock Purdy is and paying Brock Purdy based on who we actually think he is. Although I sort of wonder if I think maybe a little bit more of Brock Purdy than you do at this point, because I'm watching this season without all of the, you know, in a much worse, not a terrible situation, but in a worse situation than he was in the year before and with much worse numbers. I actually thought Brock did a little bit more actual quarterbacking this year than I thought he was previously capable of.
Okay.
I didn't think he had the blind, stupid luck that he had just kind of gotten away with at times the year before. I still don't. No, if you're asking me, like, do I think you can take Brock Purdy out of a Shanahan ecosystem and get a top 10 quarterback? No. But I do think, I think we all sense that the 49ers, as we know them, like that window that probably opened in like 2019, and has continued, that window is probably closed mostly because, you know, they've lost so much of that roster around him. Yep. They're relying on the health of an older and notoriously fragile to begin with running back. Debo, they had to trade away Debo Samuel. I just, Ayuk's coming off injury. Excuse me. I'm tired. Anyways, I think that window's closed. And so, like, do I think the 49ers will win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy? No. Do I think the fact that they've paid Brock Purdy what is going to end up being a fairly mid-level quarterback contract over the course of it, do I think that's going to be the reason that they don't win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy? No. Because I think there's been this theory that, like, oh, yeah, they're going to pay. And if they had extended him a year before, it probably would look more like this, where it's like Brock Purdy's going to get paid like a top five quarterback, and it's going to cripple them immediately. And that's not, in my opinion, what's happened here. But I still think that window's closed just because that, you know, that roster just isn't what it is. And I don't think you can build that roster back up around him, not because his contract is so onerous, but because it's hard to build a fucking roster like that. They got lucky that they built it in the first place. And the 49ers, this is something we talked about a little bit last year, the 49ers are on a run of some real fucking bad drafts lately. Like, yeah. Purdy is the last, like, great draft pick that they made. And he was a 2022 draft pick at this point. Like, it's been a while since they've made a pretty good draft pick. And they've had some runs of bad classes. So, yeah. Anyways, what are you thinking here, Travis?
Yeah, I think this has done a couple of things. This is basically the Jared Goff contract. Like, it's got one more year, hypothetically. Is he going to make it there at age 31? I don't know. Doubtful for me. But essentially, that's what it is. It's the same average annual salary. The thing with the Jared Goff deal is we were talking about that, like, man, that locks them in. And does that lock them just outside of the Super Bowl conversation every year, right? Like, is this good enough? Should they have taken a risk and tried to go for a better younger guy? Is this really how you want to try to push yourself across the finish line, you know? And in that case, I was like, well, you know, you don't hate it. It's just like, you're kind of glad the Lions are locked into Jared Goff, right? The Brock Purdy deal here is just kind of like, this team was 6-11 last year, and they've lost more talent this year. Like you said, they don't have anything good really coming up. They have missed so bad in the draft recently, and there's just not a whole lot of hope there. This is like locking in an acceptable quarterback to a team that is just going to get worse from 6-11, you would have to think. And then the other thing, the thing that I keep thinking, and the thing that I mentioned to you is, you know, Andy Reid, for a long time, he kept making okay quarterbacks look great, or he would make a good quarterback look great. Not guys with overwhelming talent. He would never like grab the guy who was maybe going to blow you away, right? If you could just strap a rocket to him in the form of Andy Reid's coaching. And then finally he does it with Pat Mahomes, right? He gets out of the Matt Castle, Alex Smith, Donovan McNabb, jail cell that he had been in. And then it's just Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. And you, it just whoa, feels whoa, like whoa. We've okay, put
time,
another...
Time the fuck out.
You, oh, what's that, Kyle?
What are you saying about Donovan? Are you putting Donovan McNabb in the same tier as Alex Smith?
I had to put Donovan McNabb in there just to upset.
Say me. What you will about Andy Reid being Andy Reid. Okay, this man fucking went to multiple NFC Championship games with James Thrash and fucking Todd Pinkston. Okay.
Yeah, and Andy Reid.
Yeah, but I mean, like Andy Reid. Okay, Andy Reid's always been a good offensive coordinator, but he was not the fucking goddamn scheme lord in 2000. Those Eagles teams were defense, and they had like it. God, his best wide receiver was a running back. You son of a bitch.
I wanted to see if I could make you peek that microphone by slipping Donovan McNabb in there.
Son of a bitch. So, yeah,
Matt Castle, Alex Smith. You know what I'm saying? They draft Patrick Mahomes, and all.
I don't think Matt Castle and Andy Reid ever crossed paths.
Was that not? Oh, that's right. Andy Reid wasn't with Matt Castle.
That was Todd Haley, my friend. Oh, no, my God. Andy Reid traded his first move as chief head coach. That's right. Was trading for Alex Smith.
That's right. Anyway. Oh, my God. To get back on track, I knew if I slipped Donovan McNabb in there, your brain would, like, catch on fire. There's nothing that pisses you off more than me just casually impugning Donovan McNabb. You're just like, what do you mean? Donovan McNabb was great. I feel like
that the city of Philadelphia casually impugning Donovan McNabb pisses me off too.
That's true. I'm sure that's part of why this works. But yeah,
of my disgust for Philadelphia fans as ungrateful toddlers comes from their constantly slandering Donovan McNabb and the part that they're constantly whining about how cursed and horrible life is as a Philadelphia sports fan, despite the fact that they are easily the most successful NFC franchise of the last 30 fucking years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we do have like some reasonable resentment there towards Philadelphia. Shut up, guys. All right. We don't get anything out here. Anyway, the whole point of that is it feels like the younger Shanny is on that track right here. You know, the famous botched Super Bowl with the Falcons with Matt Ryan. And ever since, you know, he's making NFC Championship games. He's getting into the Super Bowl sometimes, and he's doing it with these okay quarterbacks, and he is blowing. I mean, he's probably the best offensive mind in the NFL. And, you know, every once in a while you think he's been supplanted by the new guy, a Mike McDaniel coming in or something like that. But he's doing it with these guys like Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo. And it just feels like, here we go, like blow another 3 years of your career, Shanny. Are you still going to have a head coaching job by the end of this? Are you going to go back to offensive coordinator? Will you ever get the guy with the explosive talent to pair with your incredible offensive mind?
Well, and
that
the
will
theory,
actually put them over the top. It feels like we're being robbed of seeing like that pure fusion, like we're getting with Andy Reid.
And well, and that was the theory behind the Trey Lance move, yeah. And I think that went so horribly, I think that scared off Shanahan from ever making that attempt again.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, what he learned from the Trey Lance experience is that the most important thing Kyle Shanahan can have is a person on the field who's just an extension of Kyle Shanahan. Like, Kyle Shanahan is the star. You are just there to input the right buttons in that Kyle right. Shanahan gives you. So I don't think he'll ever take that chance again on that elite.
It feels like the end of an era, right? Like, yeah, no, 49ers been so dominant for so long.
Yeah, like I said, I think that window is closed, but I think it's because the core of that roster is... I think the theory that people had was that the 49ers window would close because they'd pay Brock Purdy like the top three quarterback that he was statistically in 2023, and then that would doom them. They would have to lose everybody through attrition after that. But I think that the fact is the attrition already fucking happened. And you just paid Brock Purdy like a league average salary. And the league average salary for Brock, it's kind of like, you know, one of my pet peeves for years has been people who treat the Alfonso Soriano contract like that was what killed the Cubs of that era, you know? When the truth is that, like, Alfonso Soriano, if you go back, you can look at Fangraphs or base, you know, if you want to go by war, dollar per war, or whatever. Like, Alfonso Soriano he produced more than the value of that contract. He was totally worth it. The problem is that the Cubs of that era were just ass everywhere else around him. And you could try to claim that the money they were paying him was why they couldn't do other stuff, but it wasn't. They just intentionally made a decision to tear down around him because they didn't have anything else. And I think that's where Brock Purdy's at. Like, people are probably going to, you know, a couple years from now, it's going to be easy to, like, draw that line and say, well, when they paid Brock Purdy, that was when it all went downhill. And I think it's going to... People are going to lose track of the fact that actually it started to go all downhill the year before they paid him.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with that. I think he's going to be in that Jay Cutler position, right? It's going to be when your team is bad, you tend to blame the best player on the team. When everybody around them sucks and that best player can't lift everybody, everybody points to that guy and they're like, hey, why can't you lift all boats with your rising tide? Right? Like, yeah, hey, what the hell is your deal? It's a Russell Westbrook kind of situation. You know, you point at him and you're like, hey, if you're so great, why aren't you just winning titles? Or in the case of Brock Purdy, it's probably going to be, why aren't you making the playoffs?
Yeah, I think he's done more than enough to prove, in my opinion, that he's... Because I think there was this idea there for a while. And I even said it as a rookie. I was like, this is... You know, we saw Shanahan do exactly this with... why am I forgetting his name already? Went to Southern. Why can't I fucking remember that the kid went to Southern Miss? What is his name?
Nick Mullins?
Nick Mullins. Yeah. I was like, we saw Shanahan do this with, because Nick Mullins started 2018. He had like four 300 yard games in a row as a rookie.
Yeah.
People were like, oh my God. And I was like, this is bull. But like, you know, I think Purdy's done enough over the time that like, okay, clearly this isn't just the latest Nick Mullins. The kid has some moxie. He's got some stuff there. And like I said, when I was looking at the spreadsheet and stuff and I was trying to reverse engineer, I was like, what are some things that could maybe have predicted Brock Purdy? He did really have incredible short and intermediate accuracy, and he was one of the more aggressive and successful quarterbacks throwing over the middle of the field in college. So he has a talent that pairs perfectly with what Shanahan likes to do.
Yeah.
He's done enough to prove to me that he is like a legitimate NFL quarterback who's just in a system that supercharges him. But yeah, there's just the question of, you know, how are you going to supercharge him now? Because you don't have all those pieces around him. And I don't think his contract's going to be the reason you don't have those pieces around him. The problem is that they've drafted like shit the last couple years, and it's hard to find pieces that good in the first place.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. It's odd to see the 49ers as such an afterthought right now, and then just seeing them hand out a big deal to the quarterback that just led them to that 6-11 record. It's just one of those, like, it's a move you have to make, right? You can't not sign this contract. But on the other hand, like, what do you get out of it? What are you getting out of this? Probably like some 8-win seasons, I guess. All right, Kyle Shanahan to finally leave?
I think there's the fact that, like, I still don't really necessarily trust the other teams in the NFC West that much, and Kyle Shanahan is that much of an X factor that I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, they're going to make the playoffs sometimes, probably. But do I think they are serious? I think the era of them being, like, guaranteed serious NFC Super Bowl contenders, that's past at this point for now.
Yeah, but that's more because the Bears are here.
Right. Yes, exactly. And let's wade into that. So
that being said, let's actually talk about the Bears. 25 minutes in to this Bears podcast.
So first things first, what do we want to tackle? How are you feeling about the Joe Tooney extension?
Yeah, I just like overwhelmingly positive. This is a dude who was an All-Pro, a dude who can shift over to left tackle and still be a top 15 left tackle in the NFL somehow. He obviously still has plenty of gas left in the tank. And this is just like a completely reasonable extension. Like there's just, I see nothing wrong with this. And I'm very happy to have him around for a few years. Definitely did not want this to be a one and done.
Do you
have anything negative to say about this?
Yeah, no, I think it's a perfectly reasonable amount. Like they didn't break the bank. He's not suddenly the highest paid guard in the NFL. I just think that it's just a very sensible, very smart extension. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have, and I like the stability here at guard. I think we kind of knew from the minute that trade happened that an extension of some sort was likely. So
Both sides were talking extension like as soon as the trade happened, it seemed like, and it's just one of those mutually beneficial things.
The
interior of the line is now locked up for at least 3 years with two definite quality starters and then one dude who's got a shot. He was a quality starter 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Hopefully last year was an aberration.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the biggest argument in favor of it being an aberration is he played 4 games. Like, he was injured. Like, they're, you know, and it wasn't like a serious injury. It's not an injury that you expect to linger. It was just an injury that cost him 13 games, and they had to shuffle his position twice in the meantime. I just, you know, I'm not. He's back with the coach and the scheme that got the most out of him in the first place. I feel like there is more concern about Jonah Jackson, honestly, than I really merit. I mean, because they ain't all going to be winners. You know, they're not going to have 5 all pros, but I feel like as far as if the weakest link on this offensive line is Jonah Jackson playing about how he did in Detroit, then we're going to have a pretty good offensive line. But he might not be the weakest link on this offensive line because Travis.
Uh-huh.
Who's starting at left tackle this year?
Interesting question, Kyle. So, yeah, we got to talk about rookie minicamp. And, boy, coming out of rookie minicamp, the guy we heard about is not who you may have expected we would hear about. It ended up being Ozzie Trapio. Just blowing people away. Apparently, he has memorized the playbook. He's just got it all down already, which is like a great way to really impress your coach. If you, as an offensive lineman, want to get on your coach's good side, just know exactly where you're supposed to be at all times, right from rookie minicamp. That will do it. That's definitely something you could see on the tape at BC. This guy clearly knows where every single play is supposed to go, where the ball is behind him or should be behind him. At any given moment, you could see the frustration on his face after he'd watched that wild and crazy quarterback they got there at Boston College just kind of like go completely off script and go the wrong direction. But you could actually see him being in the right place, trying to fake his guy out, creating a hole for either the running back or where the quarterback was supposed to run through. Obviously, an incredibly intelligent guy, but apparently he just blew everybody away.
Yeah, I mean, coaching staff,
onlookers were impressed with this guy.
Yeah, well, and I don't remember if we talked about this when we were talking about our draft recap, but like Trapio was a guy that, like, you know, every year there are those guys that they go higher than the public mocks tended to have them go, and you have a lot of people say like, oh no, you, and sometimes that's because it's a massive reach, like, and you know, we're not going to try to defend. Oh God, I've already forgotten his name. Ruben Hippolyte, the hilarious linebacker pick that they made in the fourth round. Like, haven't had anybody come out of the woodworks to say, oh yeah, no, we were definitely going to draft that guy too. But
yeah.
Trapio is a guy that I've heard from multiple people, like NFL people, were like, no, he was a guy that was always like, we always had him as a second round pick at the latest. Like, he's a guy that NFL teams seem to like a lot more than, you know, public, because he's not flashy. But very solid. Brandon Thorne, guy that I really love to follow for offensive line analysis, he put a Rob Havenstein comp on Trapillo, which, again, not a super sexy name, not an all-pro, but that's a guy who's been a 10-year starter for one of the best franchises in the NFC in a very similar offensive scheme under Sean McVay. You know, you get that kind of result, you'd be ecstatic. But yeah, I guess the thing with Trapillo, you know, obviously right now he's not really competing with Braxton Jones because, and I've heard also he's played really well in OTA so far. He's not really competing with Braxton Jones at this moment because Braxton Jones is not healthy, not cleared to play, but stands to reason, you know, this regime, I mean, Poles did, I guess, but this regime in terms of coaching staff has no ties to Braxton Jones. They're probably looking at a guy like Dan Moore getting $20 million a year, and they're not exactly sure they want to pay Braxton Jones. They're going to give Ozzie Trapillo every opportunity to win this job. I hope it's a fair competition. I hope it's one that Braxton can win and should maybe win if he comes back healthy. But it's encouraging that all the reports on Trapillo are good. It's encouraging that a lot of people that I like and trust on offensive line matters are higher on him than the consensus was maybe going into the public consensus was going into the draft. But yeah, it's interesting. And I mean, maybe this is just, you know, and we love Braxton Jones on this podcast. We've been bigger defenders of him than anybody, but I think we even said with Braxton Jones at the time, like maybe this is just the strategy to beat the market there. You know, if you can get good enough at left tackle and build a strong interior every couple of years, you just try to find the next Braxton Jones and do it just like the Packers do, just like the Eagles do it while the current Braxton Jones is still under contract. Make sure you have insurance. But, you know, if Trapillo wins the job, he wins the job. And that's a good development for the organization. You just hope that if he wins the job, it's because he actually won it.
Yeah, I think for all of the sticks and stones that have been thrown at Braxton Jones the entire time he's been here, for, you know, every time we've gone into a draft since he's been drafted, and people have said, oh, well, the Bears' number one need is obviously a left tackle, while Braxton was doing just fine at left tackle, and we needed so many other things. I got to think Dan Moore did the most damage of any human being to Braxton Jones' future in Chicago. Right. As anybody in the media or any fan or anyone in the front office, because that contract is terrifying because Braxton Jones is better than that guy by a lot.
Right. There comes
the Bears are looking at like we can't pay you that at this point.
Right. The number one thing that's been working to Braxton Jones' advantage to this point is that he's very, very cheap for how good he is.
Yeah.
But if that flips, you know, if you got to pay him more than Dan Moore, then I don't know that he is. I don't know that I like the idea of paying Braxton Jones $25 million a year versus just seeing if you can get Braxton Jones level production from an Ozzie Trapillo. So, and one thing I think that also stands out about Ozzie Trapillo is he's very smooth, very polished, very experienced pass protector, which obviously Braxton Jones was not coming out of Southern Utah as a rookie. But he's also, Trapillo does not have the obvious road grading ability in the run game that Braxton Jones had that got him on the roster as a rookie, or that got him in the lineup as a rookie. You know, Braxton came into the league as a good run blocker, and it's his pass pro that took some work. So you'd hope Trapillo, it's kind of the opposite. You hope he's a much more polished pass pro guy who then comes along as a run blocker.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a weird thing to have for the Bears as the left tackle, who just seems like he's probably going to be solid even as a rookie pass blocking as a left tackle if he's out there. But yeah, you at this point definitely not super impressive in the run game. And I guess when I watch tape of guys, I do sometimes tend to kind of poo-poo away the run blocking part of things, but
it does matter.
The NFL is leaning back towards the run game a bit at this point. So yes, it is important.
It does matter. But yeah, then I guess not a lot coming out so far about Luther Burden, which I didn't really expect. But other rookies, you want to talk about Shamar Stewart, the reports on Shamar Stewart?
Yes, Shamar Stewart. This is Shamar Turner. We don't need to talk about Shamar
Stewart. God damn it, Shamar Turner.
Yeah, there were two Shamars. They were on the same team, I understand. But Shamar Turner is the one we got, which gave you a great sigh of relief. But from outside observers, at least, the talk was that he was very slow and felt very out of shape. He was not in condition. He was not ready to go. You know, he has dealt with injuries before, but it does. This guy is really starting behind the eight ball, man. He has a lot working against him. He is in a loaded defensive line room at this point, not necessarily in terms of like top tier talent, but like veterans and guys who can move inside and outside and guys who are going to fit into Dennis Allen's scheme. He has a hard road to hoe to get snaps this year. And like his first impression apparently came off pretty bad. It seemed like he wasn't exactly ready to be there. The opposite of Ozzie Trapio. And beyond that, you know, he's got the anger issues, you know, like as far as personality issues in this draft, you know, we're worried about Luther Burden because the guy was upset that his quarterback sucked this year. You know, you worry about Shamar because he gets angry and punches people in the dick when things go wrong. So
look, if Dan Campbell can build an NFC giant out of tearing off kneecaps, then it's time for Ben Johnson to build an army of dick punchers. Like, just we're gonna
bring in Reggie Evans.
That should have been his opening press conference. He should have just been like, you know, if you knock us down, we're gonna punch you in the dick, and you know, we're just gonna rip off another. We're just gonna punch another dick. We're just gonna keep punching dicks.
We don't care if we have to go low to finish high.
But yeah, I mean, my stance on Shamar is basically what it. In this draft, with the defensive talent available and where they took him, like this is, you know, you gotta walk the walk here. I said I would rather take a chance on one of the many hybrid experiments at the end of round two than take a chance on one of them at 10, because the guys available at 10 were the same kind of guys.
Yeah,
you know, there was not a surefire bitch kitty pass rusher, as you will. It was a lot of athletes and body types that you were betting on. So do I think Turner's gonna work out? Honestly, I don't necessarily do. But at the same time, it was a worthwhile gamble. And yeah, I don't expect anything from him as a rookie. He is a true project. So definitely not overreacting to that, but also very much not surprised that the early responses felt very much. I mean, honestly, it was very kind of similar with Jervon Dexter's first rookie minicamp, and he started to impress by the end of his rookie training camp. But I remember that a lot of the initial reactions to Jervon Dexter were like, yeah, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah, I was just going to say that this feels like that Simpsons meme where Mo is throwing Barney out of the bar, except in this case he's throwing Zach Pickens out, and then the bottom frame is Shamar Turner is back at the bar. Just sitting there.
I will say this. I did not hate Shamar. I didn't love Shamar Turner's tape. I did not hate it anywhere near as much as I hated Zach Pickens' tape.
Yes. Zach Pickens' tape.
I paid zero attention
really
to Zach
something.
Pickens before that draft. And when I went and watched the tape, I was like, because Ozzie Trapio, when I say I went and I paid attention to Ozzie Trapio after the draft because I didn't before, and I really found I loved his tape. That is not me just doing the Bears fan. I love it because he's a Bear now. I went back and watched Zach Pickens' tape after that draft. I was just like, good Lord, this is a bad football player. He just does not.
As we
no
danced
instinct,
around it during
no
that
push,
conversation.
We did, yeah. We were
and
both,
I was like, this guy might be a one technique.
Yeah, we were both much more optimistic about Jervon from the beginning. The record will back us up on that, for sure. But we did say, kind of similar to Shamar Turner here, with you know, that was where you gamble on guys like that in the draft. Yep. And we said the Jervon Pickens back-to-back picks were worth it if one of them panned out. One of them has panned out. So
that's right.
There you go.
The Bears nailed it. All right. Yeah. Like if you get two lottery tickets and one of them works, you don't lament the one that didn't work. You're like, oh exactly. Shit, my lottery ticket hit.
Yeah. So anyway, so I guess that leaves us with a final agenda item, which is an article coming out or a book coming out confirming kind of a lot of the scuttlebutt, a lot of the rumors about Caleb before the draft, that initially he had a lot of reservations about coming to the Chicago Bears, had a lot of reservations about Shane Waldron, had a lot of reservations about Matt Eberflus, and that him and his dad did explore potential ways to maybe get him out of the situation of being picked by the Bears. And what I want to say, first and foremost, and I don't say this a lot, And it could just be that I've done such a good job scaring away the morons. I did log on to Twitter briefly in response to this. And I'm proud of Bears fans because and even now, Caleb finally addressed it in a press conference today. He said all the stuff he needs to say to hopefully put it to bed. The Chicago media has tried to make this a story repeatedly. They have not let it go. That's why Caleb finally had to address it today, because they would not fucking drop it. But every attempt that I have seen by various Chicago sports writers to make it a story has been met with Bears fans saying he was completely right. This isn't a story. Because yeah. I don't know how any of us, every single fucking one of us, when the Bears made the announcement that they were keeping Matt Eberflus last January, every one of us said, oh my God, they're doing it again. They're going to fucking screw this kid up. They're going to ruin his career. Every one of us said that. I don't know why the kid whose career it actually is not allowed to have the same concerns.
Yeah.
Why would Caleb Williams not have thought that? Why would he not have looked at them keeping Matt Eberflus and be like, there was no fucking reason to do this. You guys are going to ruin my fucking career. And apparently, it does not take long meeting Shane Waldron to realize what a fucking dweeb Shane Waldron is. And apparently Caleb pegged him immediately.
Yeah.
So that was the one part that we thought was the saving grace last spring was, well, Shane Waldron seems like he's a good offensive coordinator. He's not. Turns out he was not. And it's to Caleb's credit that he pegged that immediately.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to take any fault here with Caleb Williams in thinking that he didn't want to be a Bear. Just historically, that's an awful idea for a young
right. And he took it. He took it exactly as far as he reasonably could have. He explored the options, figured out there basically weren't any other than going full Eli Manning and going full nuclear on the Bears. Met Ryan Poles, decided he could work with it. And then just ultimately accepted his fate. And I don't care what anybody tells you about Caleb Williams and his arrogance or blah, blah, blah. Like, almost, not every guy, but most guys going number one overall have explored that to the extent that Caleb did. Like, it's a fantasy they all have. There were rumors, you can go back a couple years ago, there were plenty of rumors that Joe Burrow had reservations about the Bengals and tried to look for a way to get picked by anybody else.
Yep.
You cannot tell me, if you want to look me straight in the face and tell me that Trevor Lawrence's dream was to play his rookie year as a Jacksonville Jaguar for Urban fucking Meyer, you're a liar. You're full of shit and you know it. If you think that, hell, even Cam Ward right now is that jazzed to be a Tennessee Titan. All of these guys, I mean, the team picking number one overall is a shitty place to go most of the time. Very few, and a lot of times it's the usual suspects drafting. You don't see the Pittsburgh Steelers drafting number one overall very often. You don't see the New England Patriots drafting number one overall very often. You don't want to be the guy going to the Cleveland Browns. Again, there were rumors that Baker Mayfield wasn't sure about Cleveland. So, and why would you be? Why would you be? So it's really a non-story. The more concerning aspect, as always, and I guess spoiler alert, I know I had said, we had said we didn't think we were doing an off-season tournament this year. But this story did reinforce for me that we should do one and what that topic should be. And folks, as soon as we can get Eric on board, as soon as I can get the bracket drawn up, we are going to discuss in our off-season tournament the worst decisions in Bears history. Because all of the information coming out of this book reflects very poorly on Matt Eberflus, as we expect, and the kind of operation he was running. And so, with every passing moment, the decision to keep Matt Eberflus looks somehow even worse and even more stupid than it did when it happened, when we all agreed it was colossally stupid. The only reason it's not the worst move in franchise history, potentially, is that they somehow miraculously got a mulligan. Yeah. That they still got, it didn't cause Caleb to go completely nuclear in Eli Manning and force his way somewhere else. And it didn't cost them Ben Johnson, even though it should have. He should have taken a job somewhere else. He could be coaching Jaden Daniels right now. He could be coaching Drake May right now, for all we know. But he didn't. Ben Johnson appears to have said, you're going to fire that idiot in a year anyways. I'll just wait my turn.
Were this not for the stoic determination of Ben Johnson to coach this team because of this roster, and specifically because we drafted Caleb Williams, we would have been fucked again, right? It would have been another let's pass on Bruce Arians for Mark Trestman moment. And we just thought that's exactly what happened. And thank God during the season, you could tell that Ben Johnson was sending out feelers from his people being like, look, I want to coach the Bears. I would have taken the job last offseason, but you didn't fire your terrible fucking coach. Right. Like if we didn't get that hope around like week 7, week 8 of last year, would have been pretty fucking despondent. And I still wasn't certain that it was a slam dunk. I still thought maybe Ben is going to come to his senses. Maybe the Bears are just so stupid that they will look at this. They will look at the obvious best head coach candidate on the market, the guy who has been the best head coaching candidate for 3 years in a row, still hasn't picked anybody. Just because your dumbass hasn't fired your awful head coach yet, and maybe they would look at somebody else and hire them. Like, the Bears have never been this lucky before. And yeah, there's this book seems like, if anything, it's got a lot more like hate poetry for Bears fans, I guess. You know, we're going to do this bracket again. We love doing brackets about how bad the Bears are and how poorly they've treated us, because really that's the experience of a Bears fan, right?
Travis didn't really want to do another off-season tournament because it's so negative. He wants us to be the good vibes off-season.
I feel really good this off-season, so I was a little hesitant, but then Kyle, you know what? Sent
we felt
me the
good.
List.
We felt good last off-season too, didn't we? Yeah. Actually, we felt good both of the off-seasons that we have done this podcast, and it's all been for naught. So you know
it's
what?
It's been shit, but you're right. We should be negative as hell.
We're gonna feed the energy. 3-14,
dude.
Exactly. So, anyways, yes, I'm proud of the bracket. I think the debate's gonna be good. I don't know that it will be quite like last year, where I think all three of us are still surprised at the game that we personally voted to be the winner. It was not on any of our radar. I don't think I even made it a one seed initially. Nope. But it's such a good series of episodes. You can go back to how we logicked our way to the Jay Cutler, D'Angelo Hall game being the worst Bears game of our lives. We'll have something similar happen with this podcast.
Well,
with this tournament.
I'm interested. Just like last year, folks. Send it an email. Send it in startkyleorton@gmail.com. I want to hear, what do you think the worst decisions ever made by the Bears?
And to be clear, I think...
What's your pick? Because last year, nobody else picked the game that we ended up picking. And trust me, going into that bracket, we did not think the D'Angelo Hall game was going to win. None of us had that game.
And spoiler for the regions, I split them into four different kinds of decisions. There are draft decisions. So like specifically choosing player Y, A over player B, I bet you guys can guess one of the ones that's going to be in that region. There are trade decisions, both trades that they, guys that they traded for, guys that they traded away, you know, spoiler, Greg Olsen's in there. And then there's also free agency decisions. And that's not just players that they signed, but also players that they let go, decisions that they have made in free agency. And then of course there are coaching decisions. So Trestman over Arians, keeping Matt Eberflus, those are going to be some of the options that we will debate. So those are the kinds of things, you know, if you want to throw out your candidates in those categories, we'll definitely read them on air and see if they are worth including over any of the ones that I have on there. I think last year we did drop a couple of the ones that I had initially in our bracket and take some fan suggestions instead. So we could do the same this year. But yeah, what do you think the Bears' worst draft, trade, free agency, coaching decisions?
That's right. And give me a shout out if you want to hear me just read my entire rant from the day we hired Mark Trestman on the podcast.
That's right, because you've got the the record still exists, doesn't it?
It's saved out there, folks. We could all access it. Fantastic. I could just read it straight from there, exactly what I thought, man. Of that.
If there's ever a podcast, if there's ever a week where you just can't podcast and we need to get an episode out, that's what I'll do. I'll just go back and read old For the Records from the blog. Because back before the original version of the Scottcast existed, Travis and I used to just do what was called For the Record. We would have these discussions, the same kind of discussion that we have on the podcast. We would just have them via email, and then I would clean that up and post it on the blog as a round robin, basically. Debate. So yeah, that was the predecessor to the initial Scottcast, which was the predecessor to Scottcast version 2.0. which is sexier and stronger than the original podcast. But still, we don't forget our roots. Yeah. And yes, the For the Record, where Travis just destroys the Trestman over Arian's decision, it, one of his finer moments, no doubt. But yeah, no, in conclusion, I think Bears fandom, I don't say this very often, but Bears fandom largely has responded to this Caleb Williams news exactly the way they should, which is good. Fucking tell us to our face that we suck, Caleb. Do it. Go in there and tell everyone that runs the organization that they are ass and that you're going to change things. So, yeah. And actually, the only people that I've seen that are angry at Caleb Williams over this, the people that are always angry at Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
The clingers who won't even fucking, won't let go of fucking Justin Fields. So nobody cares what you guys think. Nobody.
It also, I mean, it was a clever marketing tactic.
Good. Yeah. I mean, good for
they,
Seth.
They let out, they let out a couple sentences about how Caleb explored all of his options for not going to the Bears. Wanted to see like, oh, if I did this, could I avoid the draft, et cetera, et cetera. And then the very next thing, like literally right after that, it says that then he had a meeting with the Bears front office staff and head coach and coaching staff. And he bought in and he was like, yep, I'm good being a Bear. Draft me. Let's do this thing. So just the most mundane, normal thing a number one pick could possibly do. Explore all of his options. Maybe be concerned about going to one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Definitely then, reinforces our conspiracy theory that a big part of Poles' pitch to Caleb was, look, we have the 10th overall pick, and I promise you, ignore the head coach. We will use that on one of those three wide receivers. We'll find a way.
Yeah.
So I feel like that had to be part of the pitch to convince the guy. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways. I think that's all the Bears news. We've hyped our offseason tournament. I don't know if we'll be here next week or not. It depends on Eric. Yeah. We'll see when we can rouse him from his slumber.
Yeah. We'll get it put together and then we'll go. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. The tournaments are always fun. They really are. Even though I think a lot of people don't really listen to them, but we do it for fun.
I don't want to talk inside baseball. I could say the tournament we did of the worst Bears players of all time, people love. Okay. And I can tell you that last year, maybe we stretched it out a little bit too long.
Yeah, I don't think we should make it. I don't think we should take it more than 2 weeks, probably. But
yes. Yeah.
How long did we take last year? Was it 4 weeks?
Three weeks?
Jeez. Yeah, that I was think. Too much. We got to keep it in two tops.
Two at most, maybe. I think since one. You already have a bracket, we might be able to do this in one,
yeah,
buddy.
Maybe even one. Yeah. So, all right. Good night, folks. In the Delta. Way out on that bumper floor. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago, and people I show do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.